Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 18th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we hear from Mark Liparelli, the new chairman of the International Center for Responsible Gaming, on what he plans to do during his upcoming term. The GGB podcast is sponsored by IGT's Money Mania, the fast-awarding linked jackpot that have hit over 250 times and counting. Give your players what they came for with IGT's top-performing themes. Bring IGT's newest wide-area progressive to your floor and get in on the mania. Visit IGT.com for more information. The International Center for Responsible Gaming was formed in the mid-90s as the industry effort to combat problem gambling. The ICRG conducts blind research where gaming companies fund the research but have no say in the outcome. Mark Liparelli took over last month as chairman, continuing the momentum begun by his past chairman, Alan Feldman, and the president, Art Pikowski, following the budget restrictions of the pandemic. Liparelli has deep experience in all gaming disciplines. He spoke with me in February in Las Vegas. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. My guest today is the new chairman of the ICRG, Mark Liparelli. Mark, thanks for joining us today.
You bet. Glad to be here.
So you are probably the most qualified person ever to be named chairman of the ICRG when you consider your experience as an operator, as a regulator, as a gaming attorney, a legislator, and now you're on the supply side. It's just amazing what you've seen it all. So how do you think that's going to help you guide the path of the ICRG?
A lot of that is true. I kind of see myself as a unicorn. One quick correction, I'm not an attorney, so for all my legal friends out there, I don't want to overstate my qualifications. Right. But I do think that my background is well suited to be the chairman, and I have seen the industry from lots of different perspectives. Right. And I never planned for it to be that way, but I'm super glad of the things that I have done, and it's given me a unique perspective.
Yeah, no question. I mean, you'll be able to see things from everybody's angle at that point.
I think so.
Especially having been on the ICRG for the last 10 years. I mean, you've seen the how the industry works and how you can help people with this.
Yeah, certainly. And we've had a really good cross section of people, associated with the ICRG, and it takes a little time to get an understanding of the ICRG's purpose and the strong contributions that it's made to the industry, and seeing it from all those different perspectives is valuable.
For sure, no question. So Art Pikowski has been the chairman. I've been the president for the last couple of years, almost 2 years, I guess now. And he really hit the ground running. Really has done a lot for the organization. How's it working with him?
No doubt, Art came in at a really interesting time. The ICRG, like many of the companies in our industry and kind of the society at large, suffered from the COVID meltdown. And so we were struggling, to hold on to funding, which people have been very supportive of the ICRG, but that was a very difficult time when everyone was taking their budgets to zero across the board. And for those who haven't met Art yet, which I don't think there's many left, because Art has been a dynamo, he's really helped us to get back on track, and I probably would say that we're as healthy as we've ever been now.
Yep.
And I think there's a lot of credit that goes to our board and to Art, and frankly the industry who came right back with strong support.
So I followed the ICRG since the beginning. I was there at the first conference at George Washington University back in the 90s, and it's done some remarkable work. But now we've got these iGaming and sports betting becoming really prominent in the industry. And obviously, you want to prevent any kind of problems you have coming out of there. So how important is it to really focus on those new developments?
I think it's super important, and I think it has broadened the perspective of what our mission is. And I would even go so far as to say that it goes beyond, the advent of you know, iGaming and mobile gaming with sports books, to now include a even broader focus to gaming in general. So I know that term gets lashed about, that it's probable that many of the dynamics associated with even console gaming or online gaming or esports in a broad context can be, you know, very much a subject matter for our researchers. So
sure.
I think not only is iGaming and mobile sports been another place that we have to place our emphasis, but it's even broader than that.
Sure. Well, there's also a lot of new companies that are involved in the industry through those new avenues. Are they joining the ICRG and making contributions as at the rate you think they should be at this point?
I never want to be negative on the people who have or have not joined. I want everyone to have a better understanding of the value of the ICRG and the product that it produces. I think we have art out there in the world exposing, you know, the mission of what the ICRG does, and I'm confident that some of those folks are coming on board, and we hope to make an even bigger impact with, again, the people that are in that mobile sports and iGaming business, as well as even those adjacent markets that I just spoke about.
Right, no question about that. So right from the start, the ICRG was funded by the industry, but separated by the blind contributions. Companies that gave money had no say in how the studies would come out or the final research. How important is that to the mission of the ICRG?
We are super focused on that. We have always said that the Scientific Advisory Board really manages the research of the ICRG. You know, our charge is to make sure that it's, you know, the organization's properly funded, and to make sure that people are aware, both as operators, manufacturers, participants in the industry, even some governments now are paying attention to things that we're doing and our researchers are doing. But we've also had that bright line in place that says the industry's research or the researchers' chosen fields will remain with them, and our Scientific Advisory Board manages that. And to this day, we've never interfered in that process.
Yeah, no question. And I think all you have to do is follow this back to the start when Dr. Howard Schaefer became involved. He has the utmost of integrity, and the fact that he got involved really shows you that, you know, there's no funny business going on.
Yeah, I say that to people that I talk to about the ICRG, that's an important thing that we do. And I think when Frank Fahrenkopf and the original group within the AGA, and it probably dates back to Judy Patterson, and you know, they established that as a critical component. And I think Alan Feldman, you know, has been, you know, a guardian of that as well. And I think our Scientific Advisory Board has always been respectful and cooperative, and let us know that they've got interesting researchers out that have interesting ideas of where they want to go.
Right.
And their job is to look at, you know, valid, interesting studies, and they take care of that for us.
Yeah, and they'll go wherever the science leads them.
That's right. That's right.
So one of the key things we've learned down through the years is that gambling addiction usually isn't the only problem that addicts suffer from. They usually have, you know, a drug or alcohol or sex addictions or any other addiction like that. And how is the research helping to solve that kind of comorbidity issue?
Well, I think that's one thing that we're excited about, and the deeper I learn about what some of these researchers do, the more interesting it is that the ICRG, in and of itself, while it's focused primarily on gaming and what happens in the gaming world, much of the research does apply, as you mentioned, to other addictions. Mm-hmm. And there is commonality there. I'm not the right guy to comment on the science.
Right.
That's for somebody with the scientific background to comment on. But there, I do have some, you know, personal experience in this, and there are related issues with addiction, and they apply generally. So a lot of the research that our folks produce is not just used in the gaming sphere.
Right. We just did a story the other day about a possibility of mushrooms being part of the cure. I don't know how.
Very possible. I said, I'm not the scientific researcher, but I've seen those similar articles.
Of course, you had to read to the end to see. Maybe in 20 years we'll know it.
Right.
So in Europe, advertising has been an issue when, you know, there's been a lot of problems with people who are overdosing on online gaming or sports betting, and a lot of the reaction has been immediately to ban advertising. But I'm not sure that all of that has been research-based. Is there some research going on with the ICRG right now on how advertising impacts the problem gambler?
I believe there is, and that I think the main point that I would say to that comment is this is what the ICRG is about, and for policymakers, either at a legislative level or a regulatory level, in my tenure on the Gaming Control Board, I was always very uncomfortable with the idea that our agency would be charged with this subject matter, because we had no one on our staff, and I think that's still true today. Most regulatory bodies have very little resource dedicated to that function. It's more about collecting taxes and making sure games are fair, and making sure that operationally they have the right licensed individuals.
Right.
So I think it's a field that is in the center of the bullseye for the ICRG. And if those policymakers want to adopt policies that would limit advertising or curtail it or, you know, contain it in some way, I would hope that they're looking at the science, and I hope those studies would drive that policy as opposed to taking an ad hoc policy that says that, you know, they're going to adopt this just generally, because I find that that's typically a bad way to make policy.
Yeah, no question. So most of the major gaming companies are big contributors to the ICRG and have been from the start, and they all have policies surrounding responsible gaming and things of that nature. Do you think they're conveying the message about problem gambling forcefully enough to their employees and beginning to, so the employees can begin to recognize the symptoms and not do anything themselves necessarily, but kind of point them in the right direction?
I think that's a mixed bag, frankly. I think that there's some that take this subject matter quite seriously, and others probably that don't. So it's a spectrum, I guess, would be the quick answer. I do believe, and at least I've been a part of it, most all of the management teams I've been associated with and the colleagues that I run around with, you know, this is a subject matter that they care about, and they recognize that we all have an obligation. And I think it's been different for us from the beginning, partially because gaming was regulated almost from the start in terms of its commercialization. And I think there's always been an eye towards that. We acknowledge that there's a certain segment of the population that has that exposure to irregular gaming or problem gambling. And we acknowledge it, and we want to do things that protect against those folks being exploited or have a problem. So I think generally it's good news on that front. I think there's more to do.
Yeah.
I think, you know, part of our expanding mission will be to move that along in a way. We're talking about some interesting possibilities there of where the ICRG can be more of a contributor in that world.
So. Okay. So most of the individuals leading the responsible gaming programs in the major companies, when I talk to them about, you know, isn't there something that we all have in common? And they go, oh no, we're different than the other guys. And do you think there is a one-size-all-fits treatment for people with that proclivity?
I'm not sure there is. I think as an industry, we can do better, and we always should strive to do better. I think there may be some opportunities, and again, we're talking about this now, of where can there be commonality, for example, in frontline resources for a basic set of skill sets through training. What will be, you know, kind of an across-the-board understanding of, you know, the basics of responsible gaming,
right?
And how can we try to align that from jurisdiction to jurisdiction? You see this in other fields of study. You see it in technology, for example. There can be standardized training for network personnel. There can be standardized training for coding ethics or things like that. So I think there's an opportunity there for our industry to maybe come together on those basics. And then as you move through more complicated questions, maybe that's reserved for some management employees to have a deeper dive on what those look like and how to set up policies. But, you know, there are differences between, for example, the lottery business, the sports business, online gaming, table game play, esports, those are all, they all have slightly different elements to them. So I think we have to be mindful of that and not try to force one solution on everyone.
Nonstop thrills meet fast awarding jackpots. Money Mania keeps hitting, now with over 250 jackpots awarded. IGT has expanded the Money Mania portfolio by adding two more themes. All four themes now feature two wide area progressive jackpot levels, an in-game player awareness messaging, an exciting look and respin jackpot bonus, and a bank-wide wheel bonus. These games are built for long play sessions and maximum excitement. Get in on the mania. Visit IGT.com for more information. I had an opportunity to use the system they put in place in Massachusetts, which kind of educates the gambler on the games themselves. And while it did a good job doing that, I think MGM has adopted this, of course, their corporate culture as well. But I always wonder, you know, even though the people know how the games work, you know, if you have this problem, gambling problem, I mean, does it matter?
Yeah, I think if you talk to people that know the field of addiction, you know, it is a brain disease, and you can put people through an educational program. But if they have a drinking problem, a drug problem,
right,
it's typically something that is beyond their immediate control.
Sure.
So I'm not sure disclosure is the only step. It's a healthy step.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
It's probably not the only step.
Right. Right. No question about it. And I like it when they suggest a cooling off period too. That I think that helps.
It can be one of the effective tools in the box.
Right, no question. So there's some kind of bill percolating through Congress that would require all gaming companies to dedicate a small amount of their profits or revenues. I'm not sure which one they're talking about to problem gambling causes. Do you think this is the right way to approach this issue?
Probably not. I think a federal apparatus is probably not to the liking of most people in our industry.
Right.
I'm not sure that addresses what needs to be addressed. I think what we're doing is the right thing, which is inviting the industry to take this subject matter seriously and to make sure that you have that awareness in all the management team offices, and that they're actually doing something, you know, like what they're doing with ICRG, which is investing in the research, let the researchers drive the science, let those results kind of speak for themselves. I think it's hard to say that the federal government could cast a net across all those different constituencies and capture what needs to be captured. And then I worry about kind of the diffusing nature of funding. And look, if they want to help the ICRG and put funding in, I think that would be welcomed. There's an opportunity there to help us augment the funding that comes from our industry. And then I think there's also growing awareness, you know, in a lot of public companies. This would certainly fall into the world of their ESG requirements, and so there can be more effort that can come from that. But I'm not certain that anyone, at least that I'm familiar with, that would support some kind of federal program.
Right, exactly. So how important is it to really stay ahead of this curve here? I mean, we've seen, you know, the industry get behind the curve in Australia, and, you know, it's having devastating effects on their gaming industry down there. How important is it for the U.S. and really the rest of the world to really stay ahead of this?
I think that's one of our chief talking points to industry participants when we talk about supporting something like the ICRG, is that you much would prefer solid decision making by policymakers to come from known science, known study, than someone saying they see a problem and they need to have a hammer to fix it, and then try to unwind that or roll it back, because once those things start to set in place, they often get repeated, and sometimes those things get repeated in a way that is doesn't serve the industry well. It doesn't serve the person who has the addiction or the problem well in the end. So what you end up doing is having, you know, bad policy that's not addressing the issue that needs to be addressed. So I think it is very important, the awareness and the exposure. There's certainly still a number of individuals out there in our industry that are seriously opposed to online gaming. I think that ship has sailed in many ways. People are seeing the excitement and the benefits that come from customers wanting to access their entertainment on their terms.
Sure.
So I'm one of those people that sees that. And as a result of that, that comes with a level of responsibility. So to your question directly, super important that this goes as part of our expansion of how people consume our entertainment. And we should be, you know, right on top of whatever we can be on top of and encourage, you know, young researchers to get involved in this and take advantage of the opportunity to study this field.
So one more question. What are some of your goals as you serve as chairman?
I think it is now, I would say we're on a much better footing today. I think we've got a lot to do, and Art's out there pounding the pavement, and if you haven't heard from him, you probably will.
Right.
We want to continue to expand, you know, the contributions to the ICRG. And then I think our job, and we all admit, everybody on the board admits, that we do really high quality work, and it may surprise some people that we've got top institutions, you know, stepping forward doing this research, everybody from, you know, Harvard to Rutgers to UNLV to Nevada, Reno, and you know, Canadian universities and Penn State and San Diego State and a number of other, you know, really highly reputable institutions that are doing this research. And I don't think we tell that story enough. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things we have to do is a lot of this scientific literature is somewhat dense and hard to read. So one of the ideas we're talking about is trying to produce that research in more of a plain speaking and get our accomplishments out there through the scientific advisory board, so people are aware what those studies, how it can help them, how can it apply to their business, and potentially create some programs that are directed at training. We're having some early discussions about that. We've vastly broadened our board. It was mostly at the suggestion of Art, so we are now getting participants from a number of new corners, and we want that broad participation. So we're having, you know, more people from the Native American community, you know, come to the table and provide their perspective. We've got a nice distribution of technology companies, operators, and now we have a couple independent folks that are completely independent from our industry who just bring life perspective and have an interest in the ICRG. So I think that's another thing that we've already done. I think our board is almost up to 20 people. We will bring some new energy, you know, to that board, and continue to look for that diversity, which I think we're doing a great job of. And again, I think the primary emphasis is we've done a lot of work, we've invested a lot of dollars, and it's our job to make sure, you know, people get busy in their daily life, but it's also our job to make sure they're aware that their money was well invested, and there was actual hard research that got produced as a result of what they donated.
Right, no question. Well, Mark, thanks for taking the time to meet with us here. You've got a couple of years runway here, so we're looking forward to what you're going to do. As you mentioned before, Alan Feldman did a great job during his term. And,
he certainly did.
And we're sure you're going to pick up the ball and run with it.
Yeah, I'm happy to have him around. He's going to stick around with us and continue to be a strong voice for the ICRG, and thank you, Roger.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast sponsored by IGT, where Money Mania's fast-awarding link jackpots have hit over 250 times and counting. Give your players what they came for with IGT's top-performing themes. Bring IGT's newest wide-area progressives to your floor and get in on the mania. Visit IGT.com for more information. To learn more about responsible gaming and how the industry is promoting it, visit GGBMagazine.com. Subscribe to GGB News to get all the news of the gaming industry delivered to your desktop every Monday morning. Sign in at GGBNews.com and use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.